Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world, but if it's the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again.
There's a lot of hype in business marketing. New ideas and techniques come and go. Some turn out to be game changers, while others turn out to be short-term distractions, fads, rubbish. So we each need to be wary as marketers of that rubbish. We need to make sure we're all getting a kind of balanced diet of different ideas and inputs. So I'm going to hopefully have a show today where we're going to help with that and take a slightly contrarian perspective on a couple of the hot topics from recent years that perhaps shouldn't have been hot topics. What's been overhyped? What's been underhyped? Luckily, I've got a partner in crime to help me with all of that, and he is the head of marketing at Addleshaw Goddard, Brian McCready, who joins me today. Brian, welcome to our podcast.
Hello, mate. It's lovely to be back. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's good to be on the show. We'll have some fun today.
Welcome back. So before we get started, can you tell us a bit about Addleshaw Goddard? Who are they? What are they about?
So we're an international business-to-business law firm. We act for many of the world's largest, most famous brands, financial services companies, investors, in offices all around the world. We're in Asia, Middle East, Europe, UK, and we stand out by trying to deliver a little bit more impact and imagination than our rivals, as we help our clients find the smartest way to achieve the best possible outcome on whatever projects, investments, deals that they're working on.
Brilliant. So you're an experienced marketer in an experienced and respectable firm. That must mean that you've come across your fair share of marketing hype and marketing fads. Where do you want to start?
Oh, yeah. So where do we go? Metaverse or anything? But there's only one place to start, isn't there, Dave? I think Gen AI. Should we go there first? Should we start with that?
I was worried that you might not mention that, Brian. It feels like I've gone a full 20 minutes now without talking to anybody about that topic. Isn't it marvelous and life transforming?
So yeah, I'm gonna. It is, unless we'll have a balanced diet, we'll have a balanced viewpoint. But I want to start with a joke. I'm going to borrow an old Mark Ritson joke, and I'm not sure if any of you heard this, but he said it at an event some years ago, and he said, how many marketers does it take to screw in a light bulb? And his answer was millennials, because the answer for every single marketing question is millennials. And so that was the fad of, I guess, what, about 4 years ago. And I'm going to play with that line, and I think the new version of that is, how many marketers does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is Gen AI, because it's all we hear about all year. It's AI this, AI that. And just out of interest, before we get into, you know, my contrarian point of view on Gen AI, I did, before this, we jumped on this cast together, I did ask ChatGPT, how many B2B marketers does it take to screw in a light bulb? And do you want to know the quite actually fun, witty answer it came up with? It didn't say millennials. Okay, that would have been genius. But it said, none. They've automated the process and are currently A-B testing different light bulbs to see which one converts the best. I thought ChatGPT. It's a good genius answer.
ChatGPT's gone classy.
So yeah, it's clearly getting better and better. So yeah, we joke, as with you, it's 2 hours since my last Gen AI meeting in my marketing team. All right, so what do we know? I'm gonna offer a contrarian view on it in a second, and I don't think anything I'm gonna say is revelatory. But so what do we know? I'm not about to say it's rubbish. You know, we know that there's all sorts of great use cases. People are doing things to save labor. They're doing things to optimize their current work. They're doing it to create ideas that stimulate future things that they can produce. There's all sorts of great use cases. I was talking to some marketers the other day in very, very small business, and it's a lifesaver for them because if there's only one or two of you in the mm-hmm. in the team and you've got to do everything, write your web pages, write your articles, it's a lifesaver. And so, you know, for different people among us, Gen AI is doing different things. And I think it would be a brave soul for any one of us to bet against where AI is going to go in the future and how great is it going to be. But we don't need anybody. We've all heard all of that, right? We've all talked about it. So what's the contrarian point of view? So this is where I'm going to go against it. And it is hype meter 10 Gen AI. So there's some things that it can't do, or it's going to hurt us if we're not careful. People are using it to scale up content production. People are using it to optimize their websites. But what it's going to do is, once again, accelerate people putting more and more stuff out there, which is more optimized for bots and less optimized for humans. Mm. And it's more and more stuff that lacks differentiation. And that's the real concern, that we could get so caught up in optimizing what we do and make our things efficient, which is great, right? And my team use it. I've got two people that are constantly scouring what's the use cases that we could use it with at the moment. But if it leads us towards a lack of differentiation between brands and we all end up our stuff sounding the same, it's a problem. And what it isn't yet great at, and who knows where it might go in the future, is that pure lateral thinking. And the example I try and use with people is, I just don't believe that ChatGPT could write the next Bohemian Rhapsody song by Queen, you know, which at the time for us oldies was absolutely revelatory, right? There's nothing ever before like it, nothing ever been written like it ever since. I'm just not sure that ChatGPT or any other Gen AI is going to make those complete lateral leaps that helps your brand stand out. And another just example for that, just as a contrarian point of view, is that I know ChatGPT and other Gen AI tools will be great at telling me what does a strategy template look like, but it isn't going to give you a strategy to grow your market share by 3%, which is what ultimately most of us marketers are there to do, there or thereabouts. It doesn't tell you how to win versus the 20 other people that are already also using Gen AI. So there are some pitfalls. I think it's been overhyped, and there's just some things that we can't get distracted about, which we're here to differentiate or make ourselves distinctive or stand out and grow market share.
Mm. Is there a good news story here, in the sense, not just that it helps us, you know, it helps kind of small marketing teams get things done, but also it kind of encourages marketers to focus on marketing, doesn't it? You know, because if there is much more noise out in the market, actually being distinctive and being creative is no longer optional. It becomes the thing that we have to do, the thing that we have to be about. Couldn't you argue that it's the savior of marketing, because it's going to encourage marketers to whisper this, do marketing?
It might well be, because when you don't need a human to design anything, write anything, post anything, publish anything, transcript anything, and any of that day-to-day grind that we face, it might leave us the time to just think about our strategies and how we're going to beat everyone else that's already using AI. I mean, I know there's some things that won't go away. I've not seen an AI that can overtake a really good in-person event yet, but who knows? We were looking at sourcing a robot to serve drinks at an event recently, it could well be the thing that saves us so much time that we have to put the rest of our effort into strategy. It could be.
Okay.
So I don't know, where do we get to on the hype meter? It's 10 out of 10 on the hype, but I think
there's a hype meter now. Oh, this is great. I didn't know there was a hype meter. Okay, so
it's 10, right?
You think it's 10. It's right at the edge of the scale.
Well, it's 10 for the volume of hype, but I mean, clearly it's got a lot of benefit. I think it's deserving of some hype.
Yeah,
it's deserving, definitely. Absolutely, certainly.
So not a fad, but certainly something to watch. Okay, what's next?
So where do we go? I'm going to pick on one, ABM, account-based marketing.
You're and not this is just a... Is that, that's a fad?
No, it's not a fad. Indeed, you know, it wasn't a fad. I've been doing this for 30 years, and it was one of the very first things that I got taught 30 years ago when I started doing this. The name, what it's called, is different than it used to be called, but it's still the same thing. No, so it's not a fad, but there's one expression in ABM that, let's just say, I think is really rather silly. And it's when people start talking about one-to-many ABM, I think they mean marketing. So I'm not anti-ABM. I just think there's one aspect of it when people start saying, yeah, we're going to go after 200 people with an ABM thing. What do you mean? You're just going to market to them? So yeah, just a silly one.
Okay, where do you think? That's not on the hype meter. That's on the pedantic meter, right?
It's on the silly meter.
And there's something to watch there. I am with you on that. I remember the days when you used to also say, actually, account-based marketing as a term was also kind of strictly inappropriate, because it's marketing, isn't it? Would you still say that?
Yeah, we don't use that expression in our place. We just use things like targeting and sales enablement and all those other words that wrap around the place. You know, it's just it's nothing more to it, really. I'll have the ABM purists on me, no doubt, but it's just really understanding your target audience, creating value for them, connecting with them by whatever means, and trying to further a relationship. You know, we just put a nice label on it, a different label than it had 20, 25 years ago, maybe. So yeah, it's not a fad. It's here to stay. It's classic, brilliant marketing. Just one too many, I'm not so sure.
Any ABM purist can contact Brian McCready, courtesy of LinkedIn.
Yeah, thanks okay, for that, Dave.
Okay, what's next?
Oh yeah, where do we go? All right, I'm going to go lead gen. I'm going to lead generation, and I'm going to definitely say this is overhyped. So hear me out before people start hammering away on the hate button. So yeah, again, lead generation is here to stay for marketers, as it has been for every generation of B2B marketers before us. But if you look at the volume of stuff that happens at marketing conferences, in inboxes, in marketing technology businesses peppering our inboxes with stuff, there's an inordinate amount of people talking about lead generation. And what I don't see, back on this getting a balanced diet as marketers, balanced inputs, how often do you hear people really talking about cross-selling? And how do you cross-sell? How often do you get people talking about retention and minimizing churn? You just don't get the volume of that other stuff, which is absolutely critical to us as much as lead generation is. So I'm not anti lead generation. Again, we all look at it, but if you look at the hype in the market, there is far too much noise around lead generation and far too little about other things like cross-sell and retention and churn and customer satisfaction and other things that are absolutely essential to our business's bottom lines, or at least for most of us. So
why do you think that hype has come about? Because it's an interesting thing to focus on, right? I wonder whether you think there's some kind of situational thing that means that's where the distraction is right now.
I guess it's easier. It's a great question. This could be a cynical view, but you know, we all know about the massive growth of marketing technology solutions over the last decade, with more and more coming out every year. And a lot of those are there to optimize your lead generation, whether it's buying intent data or better ways of doing remarketing, and all of them around lead gen. So I just think there's more and more noise from people that help tech providers that help with lead gen. And that creates this hubbub around it. I suspect for a great many people, you know, among us, cross-selling retention might be in the sales domain rather than in the marketing domain, right? So maybe it's outside of our line of sight. But as marketers, if there is a retention problem or a cross-selling problem, possibly that we can contribute to it more, but maybe it's just outside of some people's line of sight. And who knows, perhaps it's you know, there's a lot of talk about startups, and when you're startups, you don't have a client base, so they've got to earn more clients to get themselves going. But for mature businesses, we worry about retention a lot more, perhaps. I think there's probably a number of different things. Maybe it's easier to spot ROI or to justify ROI for a brand new client than it is for someone that's been shopping with you for 10 years and then happens to shop with you for 11th year, even though that, you know, lifetime value is better from the long-term clients. So who knows? There's probably a range of different things. I'm not anti-lead generation. That would be, I think, a little bit crazy to suggest that. I just think in the media, there is over-focus on it. People talk about it in marketing more. And as a balanced diet, I'd be worried for all of us as B2B marketers if we didn't focus equally on some of those other things like customer satisfaction and the things that lead to ongoing annuity business from our valued clients.
I think you make a good point. I think I've also noticed it's a different, the MarTech seems to be coming back as a word. And I think that's overly hyped. Not because MarTech isn't important. It is critical. And you know, it's a core part of doing marketing in 2023. But I think it's called out more than the other elements that need to sit alongside it, processes and people, to really be successful in marketing. I agree with your hype. I'll raise you one. I think MarTech is as much overly hyped.
Yeah, it's kind of this love hate relationship. Hate's a strong word, but you know, there are tools that we all of us absolutely rely on. I'm going to have a plug. You know, I wish we'd put Monday.com in sooner. It's revolutionized my team's world the last 18 months. We live on that sucker. There's a lot of really amazing tech out there. You know, there's bits that we adore. You know, we've got the heat mapping software on our website, which has transformed how people in my business view what web pages are working and what aren't. So, you know, it is great, but I do think it's, so it's not MarTech. I think there's been some sales behavior where people have misset expectations about what MarTech can deliver. So I think there's been some bloody good marketing by MarTech vendors that make it feel like the savior and has maybe distracted some of us a little bit. And I've got, you know, I've got a small team, but I've got a good chunk of my team's time in the last year has been lost looking at technology integration between different platforms. So my data stack adds up and I can get some insights out of it. And it is an absolute resource suck. I know that when that's done, the ROI, the benefit will really come out. But to get it going, and I don't think some MarTech salespeople set those expectations carefully up front. There's a bit of smooth talking around that.
I
don't
believe you were about to say
smooth talking is a great way of saying it. Yeah.
So what else, Brian? Is in your kind of hype category?
I've got just a couple of others, and then I've got one to end up on where there should be some hype and there isn't. So I got one more, and I'm going to talk about funnels. The classic old world funnels.
How can that be hype?
So, I don't know. There's some people you still see that are kind of down on funnels, and I think they're missing the point. You get kind of people that use funnels to say, well, people don't buy that in that kind of uniform way. They don't just get attention and then go and put an order form in. And people have overly literalized, if that's a word, funnels are there about, and people are trying to say a purchase behavior and a purchase cycle isn't like a funnel. It's never been that. So I'm just going to qualify for everyone what a funnel actually is, and I'm going to hopefully help provide something that for one or two people on the podcast, the show, might not know, just in case it helps. So where funnels really came into their own, where they really came about in our profession, was as a sales management device. Whereas if you're a sales manager and you want to know, are we going to hit our quota this quarter or this year? You'd want to know how many people are really at an advanced stage of discussions. We put a proposal out and we're waiting for a response. how many people are in a lukewarm place where we're having discussions, but it's not really going anywhere?
Yeah.
How many people have filled in a form, but there's no dialogue whatsoever, and how many people have never heard of us? And so it was a sales management device. And what, you know, if you're the senior vice president of sales back in the day, you'd have to go back to your board and say, how likely do we think we are to hit our number this quarter? And they would use sales funnels as a device to say, look, I've got 48 people that we've got a 50% likelihood of closing. I've got another 100 that aren't anywhere near a pitch, so I think they're 90 days away. Mm. And then I've got a bunch of people that I don't think are going to come near us. I'm paraphrasing, I'm simplifying, but funnels were a sales management device just to give management teams an understanding of how many people are close to sale, how many people are nowhere near sale. That was, it was a device. It was never, ever meant to be a description of how people buy, because the purchase process has always been, and it will always be, complicated, full of pitfalls, full of decision-making units, full of you know, delayed buying, budget put off for a year. It's never a... So funnels aren't about that. And this is where... If you kind of get that, it's just a device to understand there are people out there that have never heard of you, and there are people out there that are your most loyal buyers, and there is a spectrum of everyone in between, and it can give you a sense of what's my likelihood of hitting number this quarter versus a year from now. It's a device. And there's one thing that, and this was a senior vice president of sales in a big, I mean, a law firm now, but I worked in media and telecoms business for the first half of my career, and I had a SVP of sales that taught me a very useful device, and I share it just in case it was helpful. And he didn't use the same marketing jargon, but he looked at three things. He looked at your fill rate, which is leads. How many new opportunities are coming in, and are there enough of them coming in to fuel future sales? He would look at how many of them are finishing, how many of them are closing, and he just used Fs because there was some alliteration. But how many of them at the end are turning into work? What percentage? And then he would have a look at what he called the flow rate, and how long is it taking to get from first port of entry to are they closing? And he used that as a device, and I learned a lot from it, because he would say, your problem, and all marketers wanted to focus on fill rate, that's that lead generation thing. My problem might be my closing rate. You might be giving me plenty of leads,
yeah,
but people don't want to buy from us. In which case, marketing have got to pivot from lead generation to fix the offer. Is it the pricing that's wrong? Is it the proposition that's wrong? Is it the way that we're selling is wrong? Is it our brand that's wrong? And if you look at funnels, in that there's things going into it, but there's also things coming out of it. Where is the problem? Or is it just taking things far too long, which could again be about proposition or sales technique?
Mm.
Are there hints that might say our marketing effort is going in the wrong place, and really we've got to go and fix our proposition?
Mm.
So I think some... My hype meter is people overly literally trying to assume a funnel is how people buy. It's not. It's an internal device, but it still can be quite helpful. So I'm all for funnels.
I'm with you on that. And actually, I would build on it further. I think they are really useful devices to educate the not we into some of the nuances of marketing. You know, if I had a pound in business marketing for every time, you know, I get approached by somebody wanting to do some marketing to everybody, and I just want to do some marketing. And it's a great means of really being able to help people understand some of the nuances of marketing, some of the choices that they have, and therefore to open up a conversation with them about what do they really want and need, and what's the best way of being able to fulfill it. So I'm with you on funnels. I think it's you and me against the world there.
I think there's a great many people who are into funnels, and I know that there's a lot of people that really understand the difference between top, middle, and bottom of funnel, and put their efforts into different places. I think there's a great many of us that do. I just think there's a couple of folks. I'm trying to be helpful, not a moaner here. I'm just trying to be helpful that there's a few people that have overly taken it overly literally, that it's not a representation of how people buy. It's at all. Yeah.
So what aren't we hearing enough about?
Well, I've got, if I may, I've got one more.
Okay.
This is going to sound like a moan. I think there's a hype thing. I think there's a lot of people that give you this impression, a lot of marketers, that they are absolutely slaying it. They're absolutely crushing it. They're absolutely killing it. Marketing is easy. You get people that talk at conferences, we got this, you know, you're going to revolutionize your marketing if you do this. And I think they're BSing most of us. And trust me, I think 90% of marketers out there aren't slaying it and aren't crushing it. And I'm not the only one that said this. Maureen Blandford, who's a wonderful speaker, I've heard her say this as well. So I'm partially riffing off of Maureen. But most of us are struggling. We're having to work really, really hard to generate new business. We're having to work really, really hard to try and make channels work for us. We're having to work really, really hard to come up with new ideas. We find it really, really hard to convert business and to win market share and to prove ROI. Marketing is really, really tough. And so this is, as my fellow peer group, when people are saying, yeah, we've got this, we're absolutely smashing it, we're doing triple digit stuff every month, and we've got this, it's easy. For most people, it isn't. So don't be put off by the people that are being a bit, they're exaggerating a bit much. I think there's a bit of, there's a lot of people hyping this up there, but for most of us, we're working really, really hard. And if you're just one of those working really, really hard to make it work, just know you're not alone, because there's a great many out there that are finding it tough. So I think the silent majority are having to graft really hard.
I don't think we can do a better close to this podcast than that. So I'm actually going to draw the line there, and I'm going to say, Brian McCready, thanks very much.
Thanks, everybody.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Brian McCready. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.